Okay, class, welcome to Church Unusual. And I want to get some clarity. We're always here to get some clarity on the point of everything and the point of, just the point of it all, I'll say that. And so we go back to our chapter in Matthew's chapter 16. I had a conversation with some people yesterday, with a good friend of mine yesterday, and I received a new perspective from the conversation we was having. It was something one of my friends said. We can focus, and we'll talk about this in a minute. I mean, we know the story, but we'll read it a little bit more in depth. It's always something new unfolding. But we tend to be so concerned with getting revelation knowledge, which getting revelation doesn't even make sense. Like the phrase, to get a revelation doesn't even make sense, because the root word of revelation is revealed, and revealed means something has to be shown to you. You can't go get it. So the mysteries of God and the way of God's ways of doing things really can't be gotten. Can't get the kingdom. The kingdom of God is already in you. You already have the kingdom, but it must be revealed. One, must be revealed in you, to you, and then to others. And so you have a tendency to focus on getting revelation and not being revealed. All right, there's another word I'll use that is very similar. We use this word a lot, discerned. We want discernment, but you should not pray for, or you don't have to pray for discernment. A lot of times why we pray for discernment and don't get it is because we don't realize we have to be first discerned. We only love God because he first loved us. We'll keep this principle then. We only can discern other things because we are first discerned. And so many times we miss Jesus. I'm going to show you Jesus. And Jesus plays out the history of the church, the establishment of the modern church and everything. He plays it out in this chapter right here. He plays the whole thing out. I mean, it's amazing how he does it, because he sees it, corrects it all. And this template can be used and placed on the modern day situation of anything, pretty much, and correct it right there. But you first be discerned. So now we start with chapter 16. The Pharisees, also the Sadducees, came and tempting decided him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Watch this. And he said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, this is this, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the time. It's amazing they use the word discernment, because I wasn't even thinking over this when I first started reading the chapter. But it's amazing that you can discern the signs or face of the sky, but you cannot discern the time, the signs of the time. Verse 4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Now watch this. He's talking to them, and he's actually discerning them. He's telling you, look, something is wrong with you. Right? You can tell when it's going to sky and when the weather going to be bad and what's going to happen and what time it is, but you don't even know what's happening right here. You can't even see who I am and who I'm telling you that you are. You get nothing but the what he says, the sign of the prophet Jonah. You know, Jonah had to get sent, you know, over there to get to tell them what was wrong with them and tell them they had to change. All messages from God, from messengers from God, should be discerning. They should go down and cut you and discern you, right? We must first be discerned before we have discernment. I'm not only gonna say have discernment, you become discernment in the flesh. You become a live, living discernment. All right, verse 2, and it says, when the disciples would come to the side, they had forgotten to take bread. Now, if we don't understand Jesus, the statement was, we're always trying to see, when we're having a conversation with my friend, we're always trying to see Jesus, but we're not allowing Jesus to see us. Right? You say, well, Jesus, God already sees you. Okay, but that's not the point. When you lock eyes, do you allow him to discern you, to cut you open, to break down your concept of who you think you are and what you think life is. This is why Jesus would say so many challenging things. We'll get to some later on this chapter as we read. This is why Jesus would challenge people with such challenging things as their mothers and their fathers and their houses and their lands and their wives and their marriages and their children. In one place he says, you love your children more than me, you're not fit for me. That's a strong thing. But he's challenging you and challenging us to discern us. He's cutting us open and moving back the crap that's been put in us and put around us and put over our eyes so that we can be revealed, so that Christ can be revealed in us. But before there's a revelation, there must be a discernment of us. So now, hold on, when I use this word now, let's not use the word discernment like you get to see something. No. You need to be seen first. You have to allow the Spirit of God to see you. The only way this happens is through a divine yielding. A divine yielding, a divine submission, and he sees you, he discerns you. You allow yourself to be cut and discerned. Because all he's trying to do is show you who you really are. That's where revelation starts, in discernment. Watch this, not you discerning, but being discerned. Watch this, he's going at it again. And Jesus said, take heed that you beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's discerning them again. He's discerning them again. Now, ain't nobody said they would listen to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but he's discerning them. He's reading them. He's reading them to themselves. One thing I know about God and about Jesus is that he'll read you to yourself when you don't even know. You can't read yourself. Imagine even if you had the word literally written on your chest right now, even if you looked down, you couldn't read it to yourself. It would be very, very difficult to do. And so what God does is read you to yourself. Jesus reads you. He discerns you. He reads who you are to yourself. Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful. And he reads you to you. We see it over and over again. The woman at the well, the woman caught in taking adultery, the centurion. Over and over. Martha and Mary, like over and over, we see Jesus actually reading people to themselves. Ooh, that's fire. That's fire. Golly. So take heed, you beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. This is not instructional anymore. All right? It seems like instruction is dependent on your posture. Now, if your posture is in a yielded place, then this is no longer instruction. This is actually a discernment, right? We're so busy trying to hear from God what to do instead of hearing from God who. Yeah, we need to hear from the Father, who am I? Not what do I need to do? When Paul, Saul gets knocked off the horse, knocked off the beast, he has an encounter with Jesus. First thing he says is, who art thou, Lord? You go read it. And then after that, he said, what would thou have me to do? But we're not doing anything until we know who. We have to know the who first. And so here we are. Here we are. Jesus discerning. And I want to read this story. The emphasis is you have to allow. This is the only way that we'll be the church. We have to allow Jesus to discern us. We cannot be carrying him around. We cannot be using him as our figurehead. We cannot be using him as a tagline for our prayers for power. But we have to allow ourselves, notice I keep saying allow, let this mind be in you. We have to allow ourselves to be discerned on a daily basis. And they reasoned among themselves saying, is it because you have taken no bread? Now this is only because of posture. When Jesus perceived, he's discerning now, he said, oh, you little faith, why reason you among yourselves because you brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000, or how many baskets you took up? A question. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? He said, how is it that you do not understand? I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Watch this, and I'll show you something. The language barrier between you and the Father will always be in a position. It'll always be a position. It'll always be a posture that you're taking. Now, I encourage you to take a posture instead of posturing. You say, what does that mean, Dr. Montrell? That means you take a posture, you take a position of submission instead of posturing yourself like you know already. Or posturing yourself like you're really trying to learn when in actuality, the only place that you really learn is on the ground. Come unto me, all your labor and heavy laden, I give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Uh-oh, class is on the ground. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, right? In heart, right. Class is on the ground, and you'll find rest on the ground for your soul. Never seen a man fall if he was already down. This is a great falling away. He fell. Oh, he fell in this. Well, I ain't never seen nobody fall in nothing if they was already on the ground. Can't fall when you're down already. Verse 12, then understood. Okay, verse 13, and when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked him, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, this is a question. Now, why is he asking a question? Why does Jesus ask so many questions? Jesus asks questions because he has to. He's discerning who they are. Many times we minister to people and we don't ask any questions, right? And the only reason we don't do that is because we don't allow it to be done to us. God will speak to you in a question. You think God will speak to you in commands and demands? God will speak to you in questions. He'll speak to you in questions to discern you because he wants you to see who you really are in him as him. Wow. And so he'll speak to you in a question form. Here's Jesus start discerning. Who do men say, I, the Son of Man, am? They say, some say, thou art John the Baptist. Some Elias, others Jeremiah's. I want a prophet. So now he's kind of gauging where you are. I'm gauging where you are. Now he already knows, but he's doing this because when Jesus discerns you, you begin to discern yourself. When he cuts you open and shows you either your flaws or your truths, you begin to see your flaws and your truths yourself. I can remember the rich young ruler comes running, saying, Lord, Lord, how do I inherit eternal life, right? So Jesus began to discern. He said, well, have you observed the commandments? And he listed them out. The young man said, yeah, I've done all those from my youth. And Jesus smiled, and he said he loved on him. And he says, one thing you're lacking, discernment. Now, he's discerning him. Take what you have, go sell it, give it to the poor, and take up the cross and follow me. But the young man goes away sad, for he has great possessions. He was not prepared to be in the position of being discerned. Right there, and then Jesus goes on to say, well, how hard is it for a rich man to enter the kingdom? And he starts talking about it because he explains how you came posturing, said you wanted the eternal life, but then when I discerned you, and then your instructions came out of the discernment of you. Y'all get it? The instructions come after the discernment. And the instructions are different for everybody. If we had different people sitting in this room, different people watching right now, it'll be different depending on your several ability. All this stuff starts to make sense now, right? Yeah. I'm giving to you according to your several ability. I'm discerning you. Yeah. It's good. I go back and listen to this myself. So now he's gauging them a little bit. Verse 15, he said, okay, but whom say you that I am? Like, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's important that Simon Peter answers. You want to keep up with Simon Peter for a quick minute. And watch what Jesus does. He's discerning him. He said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So here we go, it's revealed. So flesh and blood, I want you to remember that. Underline that, flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee. We're going to connect this in a second. Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee. All right, flesh and blood will not reveal this unto thee. Flesh and blood will not discern you like this. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He keeps saying, I'm looking at this. Blessed art thou, art thou, you are right now. Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood is not revealed in thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Okay. And the gates of hell shall not prevail, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. That means you don't necessarily have them now. Say, I will. Oh. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He's talking future tense. Then charged his disciples that he should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth, watch how Jesus does this, man. He's Alpha and Omega. He's everywhere at one time. He says, from that time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief of priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day. And remember, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee. Here we go. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, verse 22, took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Discerned. He's discerning them. All those moments he discerned them. Now, Peter is discerned. Because all of those things that Jesus said to Peter about the kingdom and about flesh and blood is not revealed to this and all those things, it was actually a grand scheme of discernment. And it discerned Peter that Peter wanted position. He wanted a place. Because right when Jesus starts to tell the real secrets, Peter starts to exert his authority because I believe he thinks he's in another place now. Yeah, he told me the church is going to be built on me. He didn't even understand what was being said. And the church is going to be built on me. And I'll be the leader of the church because I was strong enough to step up and speak up and say the right thing. And flesh and blood, the Father revealed it unto me. So now he has this, you can see the context. He has this sense of authority the way he thinks he can tell Jesus. Find yourself asking Jesus to do all the, praying for Jesus to do all these different things. But he turned, discernment right there, verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me. Oh, it's discernment. Get thee behind me, Satan. He discerned his thoughts, the satanic thoughts that were in him. For thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Well, I thought just a minute ago, it's all a steps of discernment. Now watch this. This is not just, we can put this together. This is not just the individual Peter that he's talking to, but he's talking to all of us. Peter just represents where we are and what we look like and what we want. We want position and what we want. We want all these different things and what we want. We can answer real quick. Somebody asks somebody the scripture, we'll quote the scripture back to them. And we know these, but are you discerned? Discernment only comes through a willingness and a submission, a lowliness and a meekness. This is the change of the church. He's explaining the whole process. For thou savest things that be of men and not of God. Well, flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee. But thou savest things that be of men and not of God. For flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee, my Father which is in heaven. Because thou say, but you're Satan because you save is a thing, your offense now. Your offense because now the rock I was reading in John, I forget it was first John or one of, and he says the stone that the builders rejected became the cornerstone, but it'll be a stumbling block to those that are disobedient. In other words, Jesus, the rock, the revelation that it is, can be either the building stone, which you build your church upon, or can be a stumbling block to you that want your way. I thank God that Jesus has tripped the mainstream church as a whole. Because we have these grandiose ideas and these grandiose visions and these grandiose man-made, man-sprinkled ways of doing things that'll end up causing more trouble in the end than help. Because we have not been discerned and submitted. And so the kingdom of God cannot come out of us because we have not been cut open. I thank God for this. Then he said unto his disciples. Now, do you see the flip? He talks to disciples, right? And then it dwindles down to just him talking to Peter, right? Now watch this thing. Watch how he corrects this thing. This first part of the, y'all gotta stick with me. This first part of this conversation represents from the beginning to when Jesus comes and his whole life and what he represents. And then the second side of it represents his correction of it all and what it's really supposed to look like. Watch this. Now we're on to the second side. You know, who do men say that I am? He's talking to the disciples. Then who do you say that I am? Makes it personal. And then Peter answers. But it's amazing, right after he begins to tell the truth about how this is all going to work, you're going to be killed and raised on the third day, then it reverses. It's like almost like a reverse play. Like it's only Peter's talking to him. So now he only turns around and rebukes Peter and calls him Satan and explains to him why he calls him Satan. And then it widens back out to the disciples again. You see, I don't know, I hope y'all keeping up with what I'm saying. Starts off with disciples, ends with Peter on the first end, then Jesus tells you the truth of how it's going to work. Then on the other side of the truth, it starts right there with Peter and then goes back out to the disciples. Watch, because he rebukes Peter and gets on Peter. Then verse 24, he said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. Now he's given instructions of what it's really supposed to look like. For whosoever will lose his life, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited that he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Question. Or what should a man give in exchange for his soul? Question. For the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto thee, there be some standing here which shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Won't taste death. We're not talking about physical death right now. We won't taste death. Or what is the death? The death like in the garden. Surely you shall die. You eat from the tree, surely you shall die. You won't taste that amount of darkness or not understanding this or alienated from the mind of God. You will never taste it because you'll see the Son of Man coming. You'll understand what it is. You'll see it coming from within you. So now watch what Jesus does. Jesus corrects the whole history of the church in this one conversation in Matthew chapter 16. He corrects it all. He begins speaking about thou upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, right? That is the same explanation as if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, right? What's in between those two things? Man's will. Thou savest thing that be of men and not of God. He says before, flesh and blood is not revealed to him. This has been the only thing that's been holding God's will. You, I, all men have been in the way of God's will. We are actually, listen to what I'm saying. We actually are God's will and the way that he'll get done what he needs to get done. But we're in the way with our own ways. And we won't be discerned. We won't be cut open. We won't submit. We won't lay down. Come and give me all that labor and heavy labor. We won't bring our burdens to him. We won't bring them down. We won't bring all it, some stuff. See, we think we bring the stuff that we think are burdens. No, some of the stuff that you think is a help to you is actually a burden. Lord told me the other day, he said, y'all making problems for yourselves. You make life hard. Somebody told me the other day, we were talking, said, but it's, yeah, I know it, but it's hard. Yeah, I say it's hard because your perspective is wrong. Because you're trying to do the will of God the way you want things to be done. You're trying to do, or you're trying to be, I ain't even trying to be sometimes, we're not even going to get on that. You're trying to do what God wants you to do, being the person that you want to be. It doesn't work that way. There must be a discernment. You must allow, that's why I say get into these red words. They're very difficult for people. We skip over some of the things in the red words because they are challenging. Those red words, Jesus is consistent. Jesus is discernment in the flesh, trying to make you discernment in the flesh. It is a, when I meet him, he challenges me. Challenges me to change. And so right there, the whole course, he reads the whole history of the church. Right? And he reads, you're savoring. It's funny that Peter was one of the establishers of the Christian church, even written in his Bible in the book of Acts. He's one of the figureheads and one of the main establishers of what the Christian church would fan out to be. Paul was trying to do a lot of correcting in there, but Peter's one of, well, it makes sense, doesn't it? Because thou savest the things that be of men and not of God. I hope you can understand this. You need to listen to this over and over again because I learned this while I'm sitting here talking to you just now. I'll be honest. And I'm going to go back and listen to it again and read it again, too, because of the clarity of how it is. But we must first be discerned. When we can be discerned, when we allow God to discern us, then we can get some clarity on who we are and what we're supposed to be doing.